Hello, and thank you for listening to Address Unknown. In this episode, we are going to be talking about our time in Panama. Yes, you may have heard of the canal. There is a big canal. Yes, there are waterfalls, and yes, there are lots and lots of monkeys and sloths.
Let's just take a second to give a quick update as to where we are. This is episode, it's a little delayed.
We are delayed.
We're delayed by months, you guys. Life has gotten off the rails.
Well, we've gotten a life, right? Like, we've gotten a routine recently.
So as Jonica had said, in this episode, we are going to be discussing our time in Panama. And after Panama, we continued our trip visiting other countries in Central America before arriving in Mexico, which is where we are now. We plan on being here for a while, and we're taking some Spanish classes 5 days a week, 3 hours a day. Intensive, I would say.
Very intense.
We'll get into that a little bit more when we do the Mexico City episode 6 months from now. But first, just this is not our this is our second time being in Mexico City. We had come here before in 2018,
yes,
when we were much younger. I had more hair, and it was a better time. But we just fell in love with Mexico City, and so we could not be happier to be back and actually settling for some months and sort of immersing ourselves and
having a routine,
of
some sort. The first routine that we've had in over a year and a half.
It's the first time we've slept in a bed for more than 10 days.
Yeah, that is true.
But before we continue months from now in our Mexico City episode, let's dive into our time in Panama.
So we arrived in Panama City in mid-December. Panama City is home of Copa Airlines, which is an amazing airline, actually. I feel like we've been flying a lot of shitty budget airlines for many, many months as we traveled throughout South America.
But it's also very affordable because
it is a huge hub, right? Like, it's a very popular airline. It's very massive. And so because of this, the airport in Panama City is very new, very modern.
It looks like a shopping mall.
And it looks like a shopping mall. Like, you're walking through any shop store that you, brand that you can think of is there. But because it is huge, you could end up walking more than like 20 minutes to get from Terminal 1 to Terminal 2 or vice versa. There is a bus that runs between the terminals, but it only leaves, once an hour?
Once every hour. And we didn't even see it.
It's horrible.
And unlike like DIA, like in Denver, there is no tram. Mm-hmm. This is literally just two terminals, and if you have an hour in between, you got to run.
Yeah, you got to book it. And a lot of times you'll land in one terminal, right, and then have to go to, like, get your bags and go through immigration and everything in the other terminal. So it's a lot of walking. You get your steps in.
You spent a lot of time in the Panama City airport.
For sure. Panama City is also hot. It's always hot. It is always over 32 degrees Celsius or 90 degrees Fahrenheit almost every single day. It's also insanely humid. So be ready. If you go to Panama City, like, you're going to sweat like crazy the entire time that you're there. Like many Latin American countries, there is an old town and then a new modern part of town. When we were there, we stayed in the new part of town. But the great thing is, being again in Central America, there are Ubers always available and they're super affordable, which is great for getting around. Panama City sits on the Bay of Panama. Trump hasn't decided to change that name yet.
Call it the Bay of America soon.
Google Maps. We'll see what happens. And the great thing is there are amazing biking and running walking paths that run the entire length of the bay, giving you, if you're out in the early morning, a slight breeze. That's the only time that you can be out running or walking or doing anything without dying and feeling like you're literally walking through hell. We went to the Bio Museo, which is housed in a super cool modern building designed by Frank Gehry. There is a lot of flora and fauna exhibits that you walk through, and also a lot of history about the Panamanian people. I would say, you tell me if you feel differently. I don't think that you necessarily need to go inside the museum. The building itself is super cool, and you should walk around it.
You don't necessarily have to go in.
You don't have to go in. That was my whole point.
Sure.
So after we went in, we went and rented bikes to go to the end of, so the museum is on Amador Causeway. And we thought this bike ride was going to be much longer, right? Like, we rented these bikes. We're like, yeah, we'll take them for 2 hours. It's a very short bike ride.
It's 15 minutes out and back.
To the end of the causeway, but it was nice. Nice, easy ride getting to the end. You get to get a different view of Panama City. After we were done with that, we were starving. So we headed to the Mercado de Mariscos, or fish market, for those of you that don't speak Spanish. And we had a couple different kinds of super fresh, amazing ceviches. Not as good as Lima, but still very tasty. It was a fun experience. There's like just a bunch of different restaurants as soon as you walk in, and they're all yelling at you because they want you to come eat at their place.
Right. I mean, they all kind of sell the same thing.
Yes,
but
exactly.
They're sort of like hollering to pull you towards, like, and the first one is always the most busy.
Yeah.
And it sort of like trickles off as you go down.
Because again, like, we didn't realize, right? Like, we just walked in where we thought that it was one big restaurant. We didn't realize that there were multiple ones, but it was fine.
Totally
like,
worth going.
Yeah, it was incredible. After that, we had an incredible dinner at Fonda Loci, which is located in the old town. Very busy, very popular, probably one of the most popular restaurants in Panama City.
Yeah, it was,
I
like,
would say.
But you looked up restaurants like to
it's
go to.
It's like number one.
The hot new place, yeah.
And it was great. I mean, well deserved.
Food
number
was
one rating.
Yeah.
Food was great. Cocktails were great. Would recommend. The next day we took an Uber to the Panama Canal. You do need to book your tickets online in advance. It sells out. I mean, it's the most popular attraction in Panama City.
It's the Eiffel Tower of Paris. Like, it's, everybody goes there, and it's they do it in like time blocks. So you get like 2 hours but you need to book ahead. That's correct.
Yeah, you have to book ahead. Very easy Uber ride out there though. You arrive, they scan your tickets, and you immediately go to an IMAX theater. You watch a video of the history of the Panama Canal. That is narrated by none other than Morgan Freeman.
Our dear, dear friend.
And it was incredible. It's 3D, too. They give you glasses, so, like, things kind of pop out at you. I didn't get sick. A lot of times I get kind of motion sickness in these types of films, but I did okay.
It's not a Nickelodeon ride. I mean, it's a 3D movie you put on the glasses.
But it still bothers me a lot of times. This one didn't. I think it was Morgan Freeman's very calming voice that the guy that got me through it. But it's super interesting. I mean, I didn't know anything about the history of the Panama Canal. And in fact, I almost didn't go. I was kind of like, I don't give a shit. It's a fucking canal. Why do I need to go? But it was incredible to learn about the fact that the French went there first, right? Like, they were the ones that were going to build the canal.
That's right.
Tens of thousands of people died from malaria and yellow fever because, again, Panama
it's is humid.
Super hot, yeah. And super humid, and there's jungles. And so because of that, then they left, the French left, the States came in, and still people were dying, but there was insane, like, medical innovations that happened that could cure you from malaria and yellow fever. And so, yes, a lot of people died still, but not as many. And because of that, those are the pills and the medication that we take when we travel to certain countries.
Anybody who's taking medication for yellow fever or for, like, dengue fever or malaria, this was all a result of during the building of the Panama Canal. They brought scientists in to figure out how to, like, save lives. That's directly where it came from.
It's crazy. So that's incredible. So it's cool. You learn about all of that, right? So you watch this video, and then afterwards you go through a tiny museum, right, where they kind of show you how the canal was built and throughout time, the different types of ships that would go through. There's actually now two canals because ships obviously have gotten much larger. And so there's the OG canal that the smaller ships can go through. There's a bigger canal. So anyway, after you go through this museum, you go up onto these viewing platforms. And if you're there at the right time, a ship will be coming through the lock and dams, which is super fun to see.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's packed with people watching, and the people on the ships too. I mean, they're out at sea for God knows how long, right? So when we were there, there was a ship, an Asian like car.
It was
shipping. Ship.
Yeah, it wasn't like a shipping container. In the sense that you see like the Maersk container on it. It was enclosed entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And the design of the ships we actually learned at the museum.
Mm-hmm.
There's special ones for cars.
Yep.
There's special ones for food.
Mm-hmm.
There's special ones for like construction materials.
All different.
And they have a shape, mm-hmm. like a literal like silhouette shape, and that's how you can tell. So yes, one was an Asian car company that was coming through when we were there.
Yeah, it was great, and it was super cute because again, they've been at sea for God knows how long. And so they kind of, in a way, I would imagine, feel like celebrities for a moment, because as they're coming through the lock and dams and at our viewing platform, they're waving, they're blowing kisses. People are doing that. We're all taking videos and pictures. I don't know. It was really sweet. It was a very cool thing to see and witness. And these ships are massive.
Yeah, it's super weird because you're on the viewing platform and there's I don't know what you would call them, the term, but they're like shipping container or shipping boat aficionados. Like, people are really into these
someone who's into something weird, right?
So there's like a specific group that clearly wants to be in the front, and they're willing to push kids aside.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, I would say, stereotype 50 to 60 year old adult male wearing a floral shirt and a Panama jack hat, and they are out there with their large lens cameras, and like, this is their Shangri-La.
Yeah,
time.
It's their Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very odd. It's sort of like years ago we stayed at the TWA in
the
hotel in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right on the
out at JFK.
At JFK.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the right old on, terminal.
Yeah. And it's right mm-hmm. on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like all these like airline files. I don't know what the name is, but people are into like different type of planes.
Oh, yeah.
And they like all stay there as a group and are really into it. This was similar.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Sidebar there.
No, it's fine. I think that's exactly correct. So anyway, it was much cooler than I thought it would be. I'm really glad that I went because I wasn't going to go. And then coincidentally, a short while later, that crazy, weird orange buffoon that's in the White House right now said that he wanted to take back the canal. It was weird being there. And Jimmy Carter giving the canal back to Panama, even though we had built it and managed it for a long time. I think we're still pretty involved in it. But I think that he died because of what Trump said, because Trump said that he would take it back, which is absolutely insane. Anyway, I digress. That night, we enjoyed another great dinner at Conaball Rooftop. Incredible views, right, of like the old town and Newtown, great cocktails, food. There was a DJ playing, very cool vibe. I think that it turns into a club late night. It seemed like that.
We were home sleeping by the time it turned into a club.
That is not true, because after we had dinner, we went to another rooftop.
We did.
And we went to Selena Hostel Rooftop Bar. And we had drinks. There was dancing. There was tons of reggaeton. It was a cool vibe. It was super fun. Anyway, there's other things that you can obviously do in Panama City. You can go up to Colon in the north, and there's great islands up there. Off of Panama City, there's a small island called Taboga, and it's only a 30-minute ferry ride from Panama City. Nice beaches, lots of cute little food stands, bars, and because you can't really swim right off of Panama City, you have to take a ferry or go to the north. There's just not good beaches, but you can still escape the insane heat and go to some of these islands and explore. It's not a large city, but I do think it's underrated.
I think there's probably about 2 million people in the town. It's a small city, but it's a international city.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, obviously, because of all of the shipping that happens, it is very international, right? Like, people have to move there from all over the world to do logistics. But I don't know, if you have a connection in Panama City.
Totally worth going.
Stay a night or two. Yeah. Like, you don't need more than that, but I think it's totally worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Totally worth going. All right. And making our way from Panama City, we were seeking some reprieve from the busy city life and the heat, of course.
The heat. So fucking hot.
We were making our way to the town of Boquete. This is a town that's located near the Costa Rican border. And due to Panama's limited infrastructure, meaning there's not great roads.
Mm-mm.
So we elected to do the 1 hour flight versus the 9 hour drive to get to Boquete.
Mm-hmm.
So we flew from Panama City to David, which is the next hub in the middle of the country. We then got a ride from our rental car service from the town of David and arrived in Boquete an hour later. We rented a car from a strange expat, I think he was German, who made a point of naming all the vehicles after women. So think of this is not an Enterprise. This is not your Avis. This was a guy's home, and he had eight cars.
In his backyard.
In his backyard, and they were all parked in the...
He probably had 16 cars, but 8 of them were not going to be running anytime soon, or hadn't run for a long time.
Right, and Janica had arranged for the rental, so she was chatting with him over WhatsApp, and it was
He was super chatty.
Are you going to have, is Victoria going to be ready for the ride? I'm not sure. You might have to have Mabel. Or he had all of these, old women's names of the vehicles.
We arrived on a Sunday. And so he was yeah, I don't know if you can pick up the car on Sunday. Because it's Sunday in Latin America.
It's also your home. So you're there.
Yeah. Which we didn't know. But still. Anyway.
We were fortunate enough that we were able to rent Samantha. Which honestly turned out to be just fine. Even though the German owner was a little bit odd, the car worked. It got us where we needed to go.
Mm-hmm. And you had to have a car.
One of the best parts about our arrival in the small town of Boquete is that we were renting a casita for 4 days. Previously, we've discussed some really great Airbnb experiences, some really rough Airbnb experiences.
Mm-hmm.
This one was one of the ones to remember, we would say.
5+ stars. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And we were out of town too, right?
20 minutes out of town.
Yeah, we looked at a lot of different places and this one just kind of stole our heart.
And the reason why was the owners. Yeah, the Airbnb was nice as well, but Sherry, who we became known as Share Bear, and Troy, her husband, are retired.
We didn't call her that to her face, to be...
They're an American retired couple who moved to Boquete 2 years ago and have built their dream home. So while the construction of their larger home was underway, they built this small one-bedroom casita for themselves to sort of oversee the construction process, which is smart. Any expatriate you're going to build in a foreign country, be present. Mm-hmm. Becky and Damon will tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, my sister, was sent down to Mexico during the construction of a house 20 years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary because Rachel came out the door one day and the stairs were at a 45-degree angle off of a pathway instead of 90 degrees.
And they told us horror stories about their friends who built places and the windows were all at an angle everything. So it's you have to be there.
Just be ready.
Yeah.
Right. So Troy and Share Bear are building this home. I would say we thought between 3,000 to 4,000 square feet, this massive place.
Modern.
Yeah. It's on a coffee plantation. It overlooks the Valley of Boquete. But in retirement, our friend Share Bear, she needed a project. So she had decided she was going to outfit the casita for short-term rentals. And this was by far the most equipped and well-stocked Airbnb we have ever stayed.
Beautiful.
It was clearly new to the rental world because they're pretty selective about who they rent to. Plus, it's 20 minutes out of town, as we said. But more importantly, it had every type of kitchen utensil you could think of.
Anything and everything.
There were scented oil diffusers. There was cleaning products. There was rubber gloves for if you were going to clean, which you're not because it's an Airbnb, but just in case you want to.
Bug spray,
suntan lotion, extra Ziploc bags, freshly ground local coffee. There were several ways in which to brew coffee.
Yeah.
It was just, there was so much, there were stockpiles of soaps and linens and it was just insane you would rent this to somebody.
You did not need anything. And Share Bear kept being tell us if there's anything that you feel like you're missing. Tell us, we want to make sure that this is the best experience ever. And we're like, Share Bear, this is heaven on earth.
It was like staying at your parents' house, my parents' house. It was staying with my parents, B&D. You go home and the refrigerator is full and there's extra tubes of toothpaste in boxes. It's like that. Troy, Sherry's husband, also prepared a bonfire for us every night and set it up. It didn't light it, but just like the bonfire is ready for you whenever you want to light it.
It was very cute. It is like when you go home to your parents' house, right? And you're always the child, no matter what, no matter if you're 45 years old. I mean, Cher Bear and Troy were, what, maybe 10 years older than us?
Oh, a little bit more, because they had three sons in college.
Okay, so maybe like early 60s.
Yeah.
But still, you just like automatically were like, I'm the kid, and they're like trying to take care of me. And it was very sweet, and their place was amazing. If anyone is going to Boquete, hit us up, and you should definitely stay.
I have Cher Bear's number.
Cher Bear's. At Troy's casita.
The best part is we pried a little bit, but we never really figured out their history, like their professional experience or where they actually lived in the United States, because they didn't.
They were Southern for sure.
They were Southern.
Their accent.
They didn't. It was very vague.
Lived all over the world, right? They told us that. I think he was a diplomat or a consultant. She raised the three boys. But it was one of those times where not only was the Airbnb incredible, the best one we've probably ever stayed at, but they were insanely nice people, and it was fun to chat with them a lot.
Four very wonderful nights in the casita in Boquete. So the real draw for this town actually is the nature. So it's located in a valley. It's surrounded by mountains. It's actually quite similar to Baños, Ecuador, for any of those who listened to our previous podcast. Very, very similar to Baños, which is where we got the herbal enemas, if anybody remembers that fun time. There were no medical treatments scheduled for this time around. We did several hiking trips, though. We went to one like large waterfall, and of which on this trail, you had to, Jonica loved this, you had to go up, you ascended and you descended several parts of the trail using ropes, like that were just, someone had tied them in place. And so you kind of climb up this muddy, slippery trail, and like you had to do the same thing going down.
When was the last time that they checked those ropes, do you think? Like, that's the thing. Are they going to hold? Are they not going to hold?
This was Panama. There's no OSHA or anything like that.
Exactly.
But it was a lot of fun. There, we found some natural hot springs that were also located just outside town. Mm-hmm. These were, I'd call, very, very natural.
Primitive.
Yeah, there was no main entryway to this facility. It was actually just a path to the river and then a small family home who sort of like charged you a fee to pass by the home, and then you went to these natural springs. So this is not you don't check in, like get a towel and like get a wristband. It's not that type of spa. This is a very, very, very natural. You paid the fee. And you can stay as long as you want. Mm-hmm. There was three natural pools. Mm-hmm. These were 10 feet in diameter. These were not big.
No, they were small. I remember the local guy that was there.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And then also because they're hot springs and it's 90 degrees out, when you get too hot, you can then walk over to like this. Actually, there's a very large river right nearby, and that's freezing cold. Mm-hmm. So you sort of can oscillate.
You can do a cold plunge.
You can do a cold plunge. You just go back
natural.
And forth. Back
natural
and forth.
Cold plunge. Mm-hmm.
During our time in Boquete, we didn't see any crazy wildlife like howler monkeys or any of these like famed sloths of Central America, so it was sort of fell short in that regard, but we did discover this small remote mountain town, oddly enough, is a haven for Canadian and American expatriates.
Oh my god.
And not young ones, to be
the
fair.
The olds.
Yeah, these are not the young olds. Folks. Not, it was Damon might call them Silver Sneakers Club. We thought this was really strange, actually, because
AARP members.
Yeah, yeah. We found it odd that this was sort of like a mecca for Canadians and Americans. But after our time spent there, it's really picturesque. It's beautiful. The weather is pretty ambient. Like, it's mountainous, so it's not as hot as Panama City. It's remote, and it's extremely affordable. So we know why those Canadians are there.
Oh, my God. So many Canadians. All right, let's take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. And we are talking about our time in Panama. So we were in Boquete, and we took our rental car back to the home of the expat German guy that we rented it from. And lucky for us, the shuttle bus that we were going to be taking agreed to pick us up there. So we're waiting. We drop off the car. We're watching the 5 million cats going in and out of the house, you know, poop and pee everywhere. And here comes the shuttle, right? And we get on the shuttle. And we were on our way for what was supposed to be a 4-hour shuttle ride to a ferry. That ride ended up being, right, almost 6 hours.
Yeah, they can't go over about 50 miles an hour.
There's speed bumps every five seconds.
Yeah.
The roads are horrific. And so, yeah, 4 hours turned into six. And we had one stop along the way. And, yeah, but of course, like, this is not our first rodeo. We've been on a lot of these shuttles and buses. And so we had a lot of snacks. We had our water. And we were fine. But I think it's always, like, kind of a mental game for me, because you have in your head that it's only going to be 4 hours, right? And then once you hit that 4-hour point and you look at the map, if you have any sort of service.
That's what I was going to say. We had really no idea either where
no,
we were.
No. But you look and you're like, oh, shit. Like, it's still going to be at least 2 hours until we get to where we're going. And that always kind of messes with my head. And I think also because I can't read on these buses. I can't watch a show if I've downloaded something, because I'll get car sick. So I just have to look out the window and watch the world go by. And Panama's beautiful, right? Like, it's jungle. It's very remote. But at the same time, you're going through these very small villages, and it's poor.
It's real poverty.
It's real insane poverty. These houses, they're built on stilts. They have some of them, like, some open windows. It's not as though there's screens on these windows. They're totally open. Maybe they have a tin roof if they're lucky, but the kids are running around, right? They're smiling, they're playing with each other, and it's beautiful to see, but it's also heart-wrenching at the same time. And you just kind of realize that, like, I don't know, once you get out of a, like, Panama City, right, or Boquete, where there are people that actually have money, like, this is, for the most part, a very poor country.
And, oh, and unbelievably poor.
And it's not dissimilar to a lot of places in Central America. I mean, not dissimilar to a lot of places in the world. We finally got to the ferry, which we all jumped on, right, put our bags in, and it was a very quick 30-minute ride to where we were heading. We were going to Colon Island in Bocas del Toros, which translates to mouth of bullfighting. I had to look that up, but I was like, I don't understand why.
I think it's mouth of the bull.
Right, but why? There's nothing to do with bulls.
There's no bulls there.
There's islands. It's tropical. It's beautiful. And we were looking forward to staying at this island paradise for 10 days. This is the longest until getting to Mexico City that we have stayed in one place since we left the United States in October of 2023. You could argue, I guess, that, like, we stayed in the vans for longer than that.
But not one place. Right.
Like, we slept in the van for longer than 10 days. But still, like, this is the longest time that we have stayed sedentary in one place.
Right.
And we were excited about it. It was Christmas while we were there. And so we were like, all right, we're going to stay here. It's going to be beautiful. Shit shuts down in Latin America countries around Christmas. We're like, all right, we'll spend it on the beach. It'll be incredible. So we landed at the ferry station, and we WhatsApped our cab driver that our host for the place that we were staying at had given us, because we were staying, again, about 20 minutes outside of town at our very remote jungle Airbnb. Jungle Punch.
It's on Punch Beach.
It's on Punch Beach. Yeah. So Jane and her partner, Maxi, are the owners. Jane is from
Ukraine.
Yeah. Jane is from Ukraine. Maxi is Argentinian.
He's from Buenos Aires.
Yes. So they're a very interesting couple. They traveled to Bocas years and years ago, fell in love with it, and opened up this Airbnb. There are, what, five, I think, units?
There's three.
Well,
freestanding homes, units. And then there's two units per building, so they have six total.
Okay, so six total. Okay, so each one has two units. So the location is incredible. You are literally, because you're up on stilts, are up in the trees, but it's not for everybody. I think like you kind of, you were like, oh, Jonica's gonna want to leave like right away. Like we walked up, we get into our room, and it's probably the most, one of the most primitive places that we've stayed since we've been together.
That's, I agree with you entirely on that, that statement. It's also, we had come from Cher Bear and Troy's place in Boquete, so it was quite a shift of expectations.
Yeah. So, it's like a hut, right? On stilts.
It's like a bungalow like you'd find in Thailand or Vietnam, yes.
Yeah. So, we had, you know, there's windows, and they have screens on them, which is, thank God, because there's, you're in the jungle, and there's a shit ton of bugs, but you don't have any air conditioning. We had a fan, but yeah, there's lots of nooks and crannies for all sorts of bugs to get into. And again, I'm not talking like ants. I'm not talking like a tiny cricket like you think of back in the United States. There were grasshoppers and cockroaches and other things that I don't even know what they are. That literally the size of your hand, just chilling in different corners, up on the ceiling, anywhere you looked.
We had a mosquito net, to be fair, on this bed. I mean, there was a big mosquito net over the whole thing. So just so you're aware.
Sure.
You're protected. Yeah,
you're protected. Oh, my God.
They got in a couple of times.
So I started to name them. Like, every now and then, like, one would be there for a few days. So I started to name them after the Men in Black movies because why not? Like, they're big enough to be your roommate, basically. So yeah, it was very primitive. And also, every single morning at 6 a.m., almost on the dot.
On the dot, for sure.
The howler monkeys would start. And the first morning, it was terrifying. Like, I was like, what is this noise? You can't tell. You don't know what it is. And they're so loud. And they're insanely aggressive sounding. But then after a few days, you wake up and you just kind of hope that they're going to stop after not too long a period of time. Because sometimes they're yelling at each other and it's pretty quick. Sometimes it'll go on for a half hour or longer and they are loud. They're not very big monkeys. Like once you see them, you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like they're not scary, but they sound large.
It sounds like,
and aggressive.
Like a beast. Yeah.
Yes. Terrifying. Anyway. So after a while, you're like, all right, you wake up, they wake you up, you go back to sleep, hopefully. And then a couple hours later, you start your day. While we were there, we rented a scooter from Flying Pirates in order to get around because we were 20 minutes outside of town. So if we wanted to get into town, we needed a way. There are taxis, but they're expensive and it can take some time for them to get to you. Also, if you want to get around to the different beaches on the island, like you just need a way. There is an expat who owns Flying Pirates, which rents the scooters and motorbikes and all of those things. And also there is a bar and hostel next door named Scully's.
Like a pirate.
So everyone told us that the man that owned these places was a real pirate. And in looks, yes, he looked exactly like a pirate. Not inaccurate at all. He had a wood leg.
No shit, he really did.
He literally did. He had the hair and the beard. He had a monkey skull on a chain around his neck. Actually, at one point we were talking to him, right? And he told me that they would go out hunting the howler monkeys.
Yes.
And he was like, and every month, like, we have a barbecue to eat the monkey that we catch. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, what? It's got to be good, right? And he was like, oh, I was just said it to, like, freak you out. And it didn't freak you out. And I was like, well, yeah, why would it freak me out?
He was, this guy, the way we're describing him, it visually is accurate. That he did have the leg. He, like, only wore tank tops. He had the skull around his neck. He had a ponytail all the time. Mm-hmm. However, he was the, like, softest teddy bear, like, that you would ever meet. He was not hard. He was intense at first. Like, he puts this act on. Because locally, they do call him the pirate.
Yeah.
Even Jane and Maxie referred to him.
Was he Canadian?
Canadian or American, too? I'm not sure.
I think he was Canadian.
But his wife is down there, and it's like, yeah. they met, whatever, I don't know how many decades ago, and like he's an embellishment of this, like, fantasy of a pirate.
Yeah, and he would just, like, say things for shock value, and then when it didn't shock you, he was like, oh, I thought you were, like, this, like, soft little American white girl.
Right, and he'd be like, you hungry? And he'd be like, really nice, and, like, say something.
Anyway, it's a great place to go, right? And it was the closest place for us. Like, we could walk there if we didn't want to take the scooter to be like, go grab a drink. The food wasn't amazing, but again, it was like the closest place. People watching was also fantastic. And every single night they had different activities, right? They had a movie night, they had a pool night, they had beer pong. So it was great. There was something to do out there. And this place, Cologne Island in Bocas del Toros, could be paradise. But of course for us, the theme of our trip is that we came at the end of the rainy season, which means that it rained all the fucking time. With that, Farber, why don't you continue talking about our experience in Bocas?
So, yeah, the photos gave us the impression this was going to be paradise. And it is. Maybe from January until May.
Yes.
We were there a little early. That being said, it took some time to become our paradise. And the rain never, ever stopped. And we just kind of became accustomed to it after a while. As Jonica said, we were immersed in this jungle setting. We were in a bungalow that was about 20 feet off the ground. And you're in the first canopy of...
Cool, yeah.
We talked earlier about Jane and Maxie. They've been there since like 2017. They were traveling the world and they just stopped. Mm-hmm. And they fell in love with this place, as Jonica mentioned. And they started building out one of these housing fixed settlements.
But he was like, we just knew that this is where we needed to be. They just like fell in love with it. It was their place.
We talked to them about like how they got established and they built one of these settlements at a time. And then they expanded to the next one and lived in them as they were kind of building them. To be clear, it is primitive. Jonica mentioned that there is a catch basin for rainwater, which is your only source of non-potable water. So you use that to shower. You use that to brush your teeth. You use that for cooking. We were lucky it was raining all the time. Plenty of water. There was never a shortage of water.
Because remember, we've been places where there hasn't been any water.
You know, and we're always on the other side of the fence. It's like it's too dry. There's not enough water. There's too much water. It's not warm. It's too cold. It's always something. So, being Panama there and being in this location in the jungle, there's a constant level of humidity sitting at about 92%. So all of your clothing remains in a state of dampness.
Everything.
So. It's towels. It's your clothes. It's your backpack. My backpack molded because I had it underneath the bed.
I mean, our clothes smelled so bad when we left because everything was starting to mold. It can't dry.
But to be fair, like you get used to it and you identify the charm in it because.
Sure.
We were told, Jane told us, she's like, unless there's direct sunlight and you hang your clothes out on the drying line, nothing will dry. She's like, just know that. And so she was very upfront about it.
And they would come and be like, do you need anything put in the dryer?
Yes.
Right? Because like our towels would never dry. They would bring us new towels because nothing was ever going to be dry.
The main purpose for us visiting this part of the country was for the surfing, to be honest. I mean, the beaches, but great.
It's for you.
It's world renowned surfing, to be honest with you. And this starts to happen. This hits Panama starting about January.
Mm-hmm.
So we were a little ahead of it. But it made for some great offshore reef breaks for a new person like myself that weren't too aggressive. At one point, Maxie did lend me one of his surfboards, and I went out in the aggressive surf and just got handled.
You got scratched up hardcore, right? Spanked, like thrown like into the rocks.
Spanked. And I was like, I can't. It was raining, and I was like, I just can't do this. Anyway, it's not for beginners, but it's a great place to improve your skills. You can also watch some really good surfers there because there's people there.
The locals.
The locals are really good. And there's people from all around the world. But the locals, obviously, this is like they're, you know, it's like living on a ski mountain. Not only is there great surfing right outside where we were staying at Jungle Ponch, but a short distance away is one of the most outstanding beaches we have ever visited.
Beautiful.
Bluff Beach is what you see on postcards from like the 60s and the 70s, sort of marketing a tropical paradise, like offering a chance to escape. That's like what this beach looks like.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero development at all. There's not a single, there's not even a person selling cold beers. Like it's vacant.
No, you have to drive. Like we had to take the scooter, even like 20 plus minutes from Jungle Ponch to like get to the first parking spot on
this
beach.
Right. And the sand is like, we call it golden ashtray sand. It's like so fine that it sort of squeaks as you walk through it. It's like Squeaky Beach in mm-hmm. Wilson's Promontory National Park. That's from early days of the podcast from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
The beach is lined with palm trees. You know, they sort of like jet out over the water. There's a small rock formations that are covered with sea crabs. It's just like super, super picturesque. And in fact, in speaking to Maxie and Jane, they came there like on day one in 2000. I think, don't quote me on this, guys, if you're listening. I think it was 2017, but it could be off. It might be 15.
Yeah.
But they went to this beach and that's where they were like, we're going to stay.
They lost their heart.
They lost their heart in Bocas.
That's our other quote. But yeah, they did. And it is an incredible beach. And we went out there and it was one of the few actually like sunny days that it wasn't raining and spent a little bit of time out there on that beach, and it was incredible.
All said and done, you know, we spent 10 days in Bocas del Toro. We made great friends with the owners of the Airbnb, still keep in touch with them. I got to surf even when it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
With the lack of internet and bad weather and constant humidity, we were also sort of forced to like calm down a bit.
Yeah,
you just couldn't do anything, frankly. No. Like And it was primitive, and this is sort of like, to be clear, we keep maybe giving it a negative tone, but I don't think that's, Jane and Maxie really wanted it to be primitive. They don't want like you to have internet. They don't want you to be TVs. They don't want you to be like, oh, I'm going to go in the hot tub and like come back and go to the buffet. Like that's not their thing.
No, I mean, their whole thing, right, when they built this place was they didn't tear down any trees.
That's right.
Right. So they didn't want to disrupt nature. They didn't want to disrupt the path that the monkeys take like through the jungle or the sloths.
So that's one thing I left out. It's in here, it's in my script, but I jumped over it because I wanted you to talk about it.
I was like, you have to talk about the sloths.
So Jonica talked about the howler monkeys, and they are like, I can't even do it. It's so guttural.
So loud.
That was the one that was like, those renowned in this part of Panama, but there's also.
And they literally came to like our door.
Yes.
Like they were like right outside our window.
Yes.
I have so many videos of so many howler monkeys just hanging out in the trees right by us.
But the most important animal in all of Bocas del Toro. Why don't you tell us about the sloster?
Oh my God. They're incredible, right? Like you've seen the videos of sloths. You want to see them IRL. And we did.
Specific demographic may want to see them IRL. I don't think everybody cares about sloths.
I cried every single time that I saw a sloth. And sometimes they were far away and they'd be like way up in the tree. There was one right outside our window one day. There was one, we were riding the scooter one day, like back to our place. And there was like that weird couple or this old guy and his child bride. And there was like a mom sloth with a baby on her. They're everywhere. But you also have to look for them.
Yeah, they
blend in.
They look like moss growing on a tree. Like,
yeah.
like a bulbous green mossy chunk, and then you get closer and all of a sudden like an arm will slowly hang down.
Yeah, but if there's anything about me, I will say that I'm very good at spotting animals in the wild. Remember when we were in Africa?
Yes, my dear.
So like I became the sloth sighter, I guess.
Sure.
Like I would see them, and every single time I feel like I would cry. Like they're incredible to see.
They move so slow.
So they're just there hanging out, and it's the perma, like weird, like stone smile on their face. Like it was incredible. And so Bocas is paradise. Would go back. There's other islands also in the south that are supposed to be incredible and incredible for diving. We didn't make it there, but Panama would do again.
Panama packed a punch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after our time, our Christmas spent in the rainy jungles surrounded by sloths and howler monkeys of Bocas del Toro, we had a very long trip back to David. Taxi, to ferry, to shuttle bus, to taxi, where we would be spending our very last night in Panama before another very long travel day. So we had two back-to-back horrible long travel days. But David didn't disappoint for us for one night. Like, it's not like you need to go there, right, and spend time there. But if you have to do some sort of layover situation, we had fun. We found a great Peruvian restaurant, and so therefore, Peruvian food, always good. And then we went to a bar that was very close to our hotel, and they had a... was such a crazy night. They had a couple of live bands that would play. Locals were dancing. They were getting really into it. And it was a whole scene. It was a whole situation. People were buying bottles, right? Like, that's their whole thing. They buy bottles for their table. Mark got a picture with one of the, what?
Yeah, she was, there was a lead singer of the final band, and she was wearing a bodysuit, and she was very Central American in her appearance.
Everyone liked her a lot.
She was wearing this, like, shimmery silver lamé bodysuit thing. Mm-hmm. It was like,
I could not wait. I was like, oh my God, call her over, please. Can I take a picture of you with her?
She, like, was going and doing the rounds. Like, the locals must have known this was going to happen because,
oh, they're so excited.
She went around and they all got photos with her.
Yeah.
And then she came to our table. And Johnny was like, yes, yes, por favor. And she was.
You got a picture.
Yeah, I got a couple photos with her.
With her. Yeah, it was very exciting. She, like, couldn't believe that we were American and, like, why were we there? It was like this whole thing.
Think of, like, Jennifer Lopez, but from small town Panama. From David, Panama. That's who she was.
It was just one of those amazing nights that you don't expect, you can't plan for, but it was incredible. And so the next morning, we woke up and we were off to meet the Farbers, the Farber family in Costa Rica. Sounds easy, right? Like, you're not that far. You're in Panama. You're going to Costa Rica. No, not easy. Not short. But that's for the next episode.
Before we get into our loves and our learns, let's take a quick pause.
All right, we're going to talk about our loves and learns of Panama. Farber, what was your love?
So you could probably deduce by now, Panama's not big. It's smaller, actually, than the size of South Carolina in the United States.
Which is insane.
It's a tiny place. Mm-hmm. If there were a decent infrastructure, it would not be hard to navigate around the entire country in a few days. Like, you could probably drive it across it easily in a few hours.
Yeah.
North, south, east, west, different
but
story.
But you can't.
But what makes it challenging is the diversity of its landscape, right? So what's clearly an inconvenience to us is also sort of their benefit, I guess, or their blessing, if you want to call it. There's lush mountain valleys like Boquete. There's beautiful islands like we talked about, Bocas, when it's high season and there's sun. And Coiba, which we didn't go to, but it's supposed to be incredible for diving, which is on the Pacific side, so on the southern part of the island.
Yeah, like hammerhead sharks and stuff, like incredible diving.
There's also like vast agricultural lands. Panama is a land bridge that spans, obviously, from one side to the other. You have different oceans on the north versus the south. You have the Caribbean on the northern side. You have the Pacific Ocean on the southern side. There's lots to do. And there's lots of variation in their jungles because of the exposure to both these different oceans and their currents.
Mm-hmm.
So for a small place, it packs a beautiful paunch, no pun intended, jungle paunch. And it's one of those places that I think we want to go back to Panama. It just is a really very nice country that it was totally off the radar.
Yeah, we didn't have any expectations. And even though the weather was not great, we still loved it.
It was great in Panama City. It was great in Boquete.
Yeah.
It was just the rough part on the beach.
Yeah, that's true. All right. And your learn.
Prior to visiting Panama, as I just said, we didn't really know a lot about it. In fact, the only thing I knew, the two things were, it's got a Panama Canal, mm-hmm. and we're going to keep it Panama's. And the other thing was that it was ruled by Manuel Noriega, who was a military dictator.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
When we were kids, this was like a big deal, right? Like, so he was a dictator of Panama for like 6 years. And only after watching Narcos recently did I learn that actually he was heavily involved in the drug trafficking, and the U.S. was also supportive of him in some of his like military movements, right? And like they were assisting him financially until they weren't. And then everything went sideways. They captured Manuel Noriega. There was a huge, U.S.-Panamanian sort of like diplomatic spat.
Hmm.
This has since been fixed. The relationship's actually quite good right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right now, we'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. It's a strange relationship, though, and this is like the learn here. I'll get into it. Like, it's a weird relationship with the United States, and I say that because it felt like they have their own independence, but it's also like we owned the canal up until like 2000. They turned it over to Panama in like 1977, but we didn't release control of it until 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like in your business, they're still in the U.S. dollar.
It's kind of like Puerto Rico.
It is, but it's not a territory, yeah. Right? It's its own country.
Yeah.
So it's very strange. There's a lot of dependency on America.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, Jimmy Carter, you know, he signed the Panama Canal treaties. He gave it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, sidebar, the best part of the video of Morgan Freeman was when Jimmy Carter signs the Panama Canal treaties with the president of Panama at that time. This was in 1977. Jimmy Carter, they sign, they get up, they go to shake hands, and Jimmy Carter puts his hand out, and the Panamanian president hugs him instead.
Like big bear hug.
Big bear hug.
Yeah.
Because there was a knowledge that you'd just given us billions. I mean, over the course of these like 48 years.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars, right? Yeah.
Like you have given us this incredible gift. You built this. You helped us establish it. You've helped us protect it. We still do. I mean, that was like one of the things I think in talking to people that if some other country came in, right, and tried to like take over the canal, America would be down there in an instant,
right.
Like protecting it and helping Panama.
So that's kind of the learn. Like it's a weird relationship. It's a weird relationship with the United States. And it's somewhere that it's so small that I think most people, at least from America, like don't really think about as going to, or they have a like stereotype that it's like a drug trafficking like mecca, and that's just not what it is.
Mm-mm.
So that's learned. Loved it, my dear. What is your love?
I mean, this kind of builds off of it, I guess, but I had no idea what to expect of Panama, and there, like I said, there's a lot to love there. I think that specifically my love is all the people that we met, right? Like our Airbnb hosts in both Boquete and at Jungle Punch in Bocas were incredible. And also like we became friends with the people that were also staying at Jungle Punch. Like there was a couple from South Africa that were a bit older than us. And then there were a couple from Argentina that were younger than us. And we would like text each other and be like, oh, come to Scully's. We're all having drinks. And we would all go out and hang out. And it was super fun. We went to Jane and Maxie's place and had dinner with them and drinks with them. It was just a very open, welcoming country that I feel like we made some really good connections.
Yeah, I think if the weather was better in Bocas, we probably would have been like, there's nothing negative to say. This
not
was
not at all.
The people, the connection with the hosts of these places was very, very emotionally impactful.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then obviously the sloths, because if you don't know, you should Google a Kristen Bell's video of when Dax Shepard, her husband, surprised her with a sloth for her birthday. That's how I felt every single time I saw a sloth. I totally lost it and bawled my eyes out.
Some people are enamored with like puppies. Jonica,
I am with puppies.
Jonica
too.
Likes like moldy, wet, damp, clawed animals that sleep 23 hours a day.
Oh my God, they're so cute. And I'd never seen one in the wild before. Come on.
If you want to see them in the wild, you got to go to Panama.
Yes. We didn't see any in Costa Rica. We'll get into that, but they're supposed to be all over Costa Rica and we saw zero. So Panama.
Getting ahead of ourselves. My dear, what is your learn for the country of Panama?
I learned, and I hope that you support me in this, learn that I can rough it a bit still. Like I can still do it. I don't have to be all bougie, staying at my like bougie places all the time. I can stay with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
We didn't stay with Will Smith. Oh, you're talking about the Men in Black characters.
Yeah.
Will Smith wasn't there.
Never stay there, but that's what I named the crazy weird cockroach thing because of Men in Black. Come on.
That was me just catching up mentally.
There we go. All right. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I don't think since we were in Guatemala in our early 30s
mm-hmm.
that we have stayed somewhere this primitive. But I will say I did lose it a few times. You asked me actually, like we started to look, like we were like, should we leave early? Like, should we try to find somewhere else? Like, what should we do? We thought about it. We decided to stay and we stuck it out. And even though it wasn't perfect, like, look at all these amazing memories that we have. And I did the last day that we were there. The power went out for like 8 hours and I totally lost my shit because you were out surfing and it was pouring rain. And I was like, there's absolutely nothing for me to do. I've literally read 10 books at this point. But again, we stayed. I made it. Everything was moldy and smelly, but we have incredible memories. And I feel like I can rough it sometimes still. So that's my learn. You're looking at me like you don't agree with me.
I'm not going to tell anybody we went straight to the Ritz-Carlton after this.
No.
We didn't, that's a joke.
No, we didn't.
All right, everybody. That is going to do it for us. Panama. There were a shit ton of Panama Jack hats. Also, just that's not a stereotype. They're actually there. We will try and be more consistent and not release
Costa Rica.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Costa Rica. We have Guatemala still.
Yeah.
We have El Salvador still.
Oh, my God.
Until we get to here where we are in Mexico City.
Mm. Thank you for listening, as always. And until next time, bye.